Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must-listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper here, and welcome to another episode of the We Are Women podcast. With me today, I have Sue Geelan. Now, Sue is all about reviving relationships and saving marriages. And I know it's a big passion of hers, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. Sue is highly skilled in solution-focused counselling. And she uses future-orientated techniques to help couples and individuals create better patterns in their relationships. Her unique ability is to make people feel comfortable, and her processes are compassionate and authentic. With 30 years in a successful and loving intimate relationship and a postgraduate qualifications in psychology and counselling, so she's living it, and she's also got the book learning to cover it as well. So Sue will share insights to give people the ability and the tools to change toxic patterns, manage conflict, and intensify relationships. Welcome, Sue. It's great having you on today.
Thank you, Janine. It's lovely to be here.
Now, tell me a little bit more about yourself, Sue.
With a long life. What can I say? I started when I was 15 and left home due to a dysfunctional family. That was okay. I got my first job at 16, so I was quite early in getting a job or getting independence. But then my anchor to family and belonging was severed when my mum died when I was 21. She was in a pedestrian accident, and so it was like 10 days after she retired. So it was pretty devastating for us. Yeah. For us. And I was her only child, but I was a sibling of six others.
Right.
So I didn't have a good relationship with the other siblings. They'd all gone, left, when I sort of started remembering. So I sort of felt for the 2 years until I met my husband that I was totally alone. I had really no one who loved me or who I loved on that really basic human connection. So it was during this time that I seriously examined, what was important and what was not, because having lived literally by yourself, for yourself, and having just no backup, no one to support you, no one to tell you whether you're good, bad, different, no one to support. Then I met my husband, and it then became, through his, unconditional love, we just spent a long time within the next, 3 years, pulling together our beliefs, our values, what we wanted, what we wished. And then throughout the next 30 years, we made intentional decisions about our relationship, about what our home life was going to be, and what our family was going to be, what were our kids, up and coming kids, were going to be. And it then became really quite important to me. And I think on reflection, after we had done all these talking, I sort of started thinking back then, and it became evident that for me, relationships consisted of having that strong sense of me, that strong sense of self, first and foremost.
I think that's with any relationship, isn't it? Or that, because the first relationship we have is the one with ourself.
Precisely. And that's you've nailed it on the head. But for some, and for a lot of people that I'm, educating and counselling with, that's not the case. They use their experiences or their relationship for someone else to kind of live their lives for them, and it doesn't work out. And that's when all the difficulties sort of starts coming in. So, yeah, having that strong sense of self first and then ensuring that the concerns of your partner are as significant as your own. So just keeping almost their concerns, their worries and things at the back of your mind and just, you know, is I think vital for any long-lasting relationships. So that's my 30 years experience and my studies, as you said, in psychology and counselling. It just gave me the desire to share my knowledge. I've seen people who are just, you know, really so unhappy in their relationships, you know, so dysfunctional almost, that I just wanted to share that knowledge with everyone so that they can also learn and grow into their own amazing relationship.
Yeah, and look, I think the divorce rate's about 50% or something.
I know, too
isn't
much.
It? But it's not just the divorce rate. That's the people who actually make a choice to separate.
Yes.
It's that, as you said, a lot of people are very unhappy in their relationships and they're not getting the most out of it.
No.
And that's probably where you want people to, you know, rather than necessarily getting divorced, that the people are actually working on building a really strong relationship instead. It's certainly a lot cheaper to do that.
Oh, I know, I know. I know, right? I did a search and just like the average cost of divorce, and it was something like you know, $25,000 or something and upwards, depending obviously on how you got. And it's like, really? You know,
and that would just be the actual cost of the lawyers, and that would not be the cost of losing half of, you know, at best losing half of what you've got, and then having to rebuild again. Yeah.
And I think it was someone had sort of said that when you married, you've got, or in a relationship, you've got two incomes, one expense. When you go for the divorce, now you've got two expenses and, you know, and one income.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So,
that's exactly right, isn't it? That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And also that, and one of the big things that, I kind of learnt and, over my time is that your partner becomes a witness in your life. I love that saying in Shall We Dance. It was, you know, there is a billion people on the planet, and what does any one life really mean? But in a marriage, in a relationship, you're promising to care about the good times, the bad times, the mundane times. You're promising to No, you know, your life will not go unnoticed because I will notice it. Your life will not go unwitnessed because I will be your witness. And that's the reason why we have, you know, relationships, is that someone on the planet loves us and we love them. Mm. And it's vital to keep your witness.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a really nice way to put that, isn't it? It's, and you know, and there's so many other things that we prioritize in our lives, our job, and you know, different things. The job has priority for a lot of people, and working hard. But when it comes down to it, that the people that around you that love you and the people that you have the relationship ones are the ones that will miss you, not the people that not your work for. Place or your workforce. It'll be the people that care most about you that will miss you. So that's the importance of having those strong relationships.
Oh, I agree. It's like, you know, you sort of think about when, you know, so someone is, you know, 90 years old and you know, a bit morbid, but, you know, death is on the corner and it's like, oh, gee, I wish I'd got that next car or I wish I'd got that house. No, we don't think of that. It's like, I wish I'd spent more time with the people that I love. That's what we regret in life. And it's like, let's not regret, you know, years down the track, let's deal with it now and enjoy the time that we have with the people that we love.
And that's the thing too, is now is so overcoming obstacles, because there's a lot of obstacles. I know that I think the hardest part of a relationship is when you've got young children and you've got your, you know, both, usually both spouses are working hard. The children are time consuming. You love them, but it just gets, every day gets busy, and especially if they get sick or something and it becomes, you know, quite tedious, and you lose sleep and all of that in that, those early years of marriage where there's children. I think that's the toughest. Have you found that with couples? That's the, where it's really telling.
It is.
And later. And later. Yeah. And when the other one, when you've stopped, got jobs to do, and then there's nobody around, and then you're both sitting looking at each other going, do I know you?
And I think that is probably one of the biggest sort of things, is that these days, I don't know whether we, you know, sort of parent out of, you know, fear, or we have this sense of responsibility. It's my responsibility to get young Johnny from babyhood to adulthood. So now as a parent, Johnny, you're going to do as I say, do as I do. You've got to think this way. You've got to be this way, because it's my responsibility to get you there. And I think a lot of people, or parents, do that, and then they, if the children do stuff that's not worthy, then the parents feel as if I failed.
Yeah, that's a true judgment on that, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think that's normal, a personal response to something, if their kids do something wrong, is that
yes,
you'd be thinking how they failed.
Yeah. And that is not really how it should be. And and it's not how I brought up my two girls either, because, as I said, you know, we spent 3 years, and I had teenage kids before I even had kids, you know, because we sit and intentionally worked out what is it want that we want our kids to be, and made that intentional choice and decision along the way. And David and I was, or my husband and I was, connected. We were on the same page. We knew exactly what we were doing almost at any given time, because we rehearsed it in our minds.
I don't know people that would do that normally, Sue. They said that, you know, that it just seems to make a lot of sense as you're saying it, but I just don't know.
No.
Most people don't sort of think that far ahead.
That's why, you know, and I suppose that's why I developed my my programs, is because I did the thinking for you.
Okay.
You know, and if I, you know, and if I did sort of thinking for you, then you can learn from the stuff that we did in our relationship, because, you know, my two girls now are, you know, 24 and 27, and they would probably be two of my best friends. And I'm telling you, and to your, you know, listeners out there, I had a ball as a parent. And it wasn't, can I say it? It wasn't hard when you put the right principles in place. And when both of you are connected, because the parenting starts with, or should start with, the two of you together. That's where parenting starts.
Yes, and because people bring different values into a relationship, because they've come from different experiences, then that's where a lot of the conflict can come in, because they're bringing different ways of managing behavior, different ways of, you know, bringing up the children, and they're both bringing that into the relationship from their past experience, and of, you know, they can often conflict.
Very much so. And one of the, as you're sort of saying there, that one of the things that that I had sort of thought was, is that, you know, people live in crisis. As in,
I have to agree with
something,
that.
Something happens. Oh dear, let's do something now. And usually it's with high emotion. When crisis happens, you're in high emotion and you make a decision. Well, when you're in high emotion, your rational thought goes out the window. All right. Mm. So you then make decisions based on current high emotional feelings and not what is best at the given time, not with your logical brain. And that's where I find that we just sit there and we often live our lives from crisis to crisis, going through without intentional design. And then we wonder why we're having such a crappy life.
So not living in intentional design.
I don't think we live with, intentional design. We spend more time planning a wedding, more time planning a holiday than we do planning our relationship. Mm. And yet it's the relationship that is the foundation of everything that you do.
Yeah, and that is correct. I can see that on so many levels with so many people. The relationship. You know, I've been married nearly 40 years, so together with my husband for longer than that, obviously. Yes. And you know, you sort of bumble your way through things, and you come to times where it's stressful. And again, you're in that crisis mode and you're dealing with that. And then you come through times where everything gets a little bit easier, and certainly a lot easier now at this age and with a lot less responsibility about other people. And you can just enjoy the grandparenting instead of the parenting. Okay. But it's that, that without that real plan of, what are the values and to do it early on before you start having children and talking about it. So what other sort of things did you go through as well? You know, not just the value system, but what other points did you, work through? And did you write these down? Did you have this is what we've agreed on? Or was it just something
you didn't at the time until someone sort of said, this is good stuff, you need to write it down. Then I started writing it down. But while we were doing it, being a relationship educator and counselling was just the furthest thing from my mind. It was just more the fact that whatever I had in my dysfunctional family life, I didn't want that. Whatever that was, I didn't want it. And I said, I would rather stay single for the rest of my life rather than getting into a disastrous relationship. That was my whole focus. And a lot of times we sort of say, as we're doing self-development and things like this, we say, this is what I don't want. And we keep repeating it over and over again. I don't want this. I don't want this. I don't want this. But our brains can't differentiate between the word don't and the bit. So it's like,
yes.
So it's like, because we're thinking about what we don't want, we end up, that's the very thing that we will get. So it's just changing some of the wording that we use to say, what is it that we want? Imagine your best, your best scenario, and then how did you get there? The best scenario, and then work backwards to sort of say, in order to get that, I have to start now to implement this.
And that's not just in relationships, that's sort of in everything. Every part of life. And I think
business.
People will apply that in business, but they don't necessarily apply it in their relationships.
You have a major business plan. Have you ever written a business plan for or a relationship plan? Probably not.
No, that's really interesting, isn't it? It's
It's huge, and and it's amazing. And this is where I get sort of, I suppose, my passion, because I'm not doing, or David and I are not doing anything that is out the box. Mm. It is common things. And when I sort of talk about you know, the sort of the common things that we highlight, people go and sort of say, I knew this. And I'm going, yes, but we don't do it. Or because we're not aware, it just skims over us. You know, we spend that the whole lot of our time automated, you know. And when you automate things, you're not aware. And so I suppose working with me and, you know, doing my education programs is the fact that we can then become aware of these issues, and when you're aware of the issues, you can fix them.
And so what are the, you know, some real just specific points that you need to get on the same page about? We have to be on the same page, I suppose, but there'd have to be compromise in it as well, because again, you've got different ideas on things. But I suppose if you're looking for the end game, then you would chunk down to your specific requirements yourself and then chunk back up to how to get that end game, wouldn't you?
But one of the things, if you're sort of talking about one thing that I would sort of say is probably the most important, is the fact of non-sexual touch. A lot of people, even when we were courting our own self, we sort of saw couples, and they kind of didn't even look as if they were together. And one of the things is that we have 7 hormones in our brains that are there simply to gear us to be in close connection and in close intimacy with another person. 7.
Okay.
Right?
Right. Okay.
And touch, non-sexual touch, like holding on hands as you're walking down the street, or, you know, giving each other a kiss and a cuddle as you're going out the door. And those intimate sort of things, you know, tells your partner that, hey, I'm thinking about you and I'm, you know, I really like this. But it also activates these hormones where you sit there, and when you're in a hug for a little while, you sit there and you just feel the warm fuzzies. And that's your hormones being activated. And I think that a lot of times you hear people, you know, 10, 20 years down in their marriage, and they sort of say, oh, we're getting a divorce. Oh, you know, why is that? Oh, the spark's gone out of our marriage or relationship. Right, yep. And it's like, well, when was the last time you held hands? When was the last time you just melted into each other's arms? When was the last time you cuddled up on the couch to watch a movie? You know, when was the last time that you touched? And
spooning, that's probably a good touch.
Yes.
Non-sexual touch as well.
You know.
That was the first thing that popped into my head. Was
yes, and yet we don't do it. You know, and if you see people sitting in theatres or something like this, especially if they've got kids, where will you see the parents? Usually on the outside, and the two kids are in the middle. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's like,
that's normal.
Wrong. It's like you two in the middle, especially in the theatres where you can hold each other's hands, where you can whisper into each other's ears, and the kids are on the outside. Don't let your kids get in the middle. You two should be the centre of your family. And when you two are the centre, you then have touch. You then can hold hands. You can then put your head on his shoulder or her shoulder and just hug, even with the kids there. And we don't do it.
And that's a physical thing, looking at it. You two should be the centre. But that would be the metaphoric as well, wouldn't it? You two should be the center of the relationship, because the more successful that relationship is, then the more successful it is with the children, and the good model that you you have as well.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you if you have a look at the circle, and if you're, you know, this circle is in a circle within a circle, and if you've got the kids in the circle, like the very middle of the circle, and you two are on the outside around them, if they leave, who's in the centre? A gaping big hole. And that's where a lot of empty nesters, when the kids up and leave, feel so bad, is because their whole focus, which was the kids, are no longer there, and they look at each other and go, who the heck are you? Whereas if you two are the centre of the in the family, metaphorically, feeling, physically, and everything else under the sun, if you two are the centre, then the kids can come and go as they like, but you two are the strong, connected one. And as an empty nesters come on, you don't need your kids because you've got each other.
That's that explains that well. And I know a book that I always have enjoyed and I tend to give to people when they get engaged is the five love languages. And, you know, touch is one of the
huge
love languages. Mm. Some people like touch more than others. And some people just aren't comfortable with that as well. So there's got to be other ways to express that spark those seven hormones as well, isn't it?
That's true. But the thing is, you know, is touch, or don't liking to be touched a symptom of something deeper? Who knows? But sometimes it's being able to sort of say, okay, this is important. This is really important. As babies, you hug, you know, as mums and new babies, you hug your kids all the time. You know, why can't you do the same thing with your partner? You still need to have that attachment. You still need to have that bonding. You still need to have that closeness, and touch does it.
Yes.
You know? And so sometimes it's just a matter of, you know, if you want that closeness, that connection, that intimacy, you just have to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not hard and it's fun. Believe me, it's fun.
No, absolutely. Yeah. But also, you know, finding out what is that love language of that person is important too, isn't it? You know, because we all need to know and feel and show love and receive and show love in different ways. And even if it's a similar language, it can be expressed in a very different way as well.
Yeah. I mean, I would sort of say that we need all of them to be done all the time. Mm. And then just on the special occasion, you know, on a special occasion when you really feel, you know, you want to connect with, you know, your partner on a more intimate level, then at that time you do something in their love language. You know?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Because otherwise if you like, you know, if your love language is,
acts of service.
Yeah, acts of service. And all you do all the time is acts of service. It's like a diet of ice cream, you know, and pretty soon you get sick of it. So having it, doing all of them and just at the special time that you want to really sort of say, hey, I'm thinking about you, then I'm going to give you this as a special to say that I really love and care for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially if it's something that you're uncomfortable with.
It's precisely.
You know, that. Yeah, yeah. And that makes it, you know, for the person who is, say, loves doing acts of service and just that's how they show the person they love the other person, it just then the other person just recognizing it, that they're demonstrating love in their own way as well, isn't it? We all have different ways of showing love too.
And it's being mindful mindful of having the concerns of your partner as significant as your own. Because if I was a person who my own love languages was acts of service, and because that was mine. And, you know, my hubby's was words of affirmation or things like this. And all I did was keep service, you know, do service, service, service. Then he's not going to feel loved. Because I'm not speaking his language.
No, and that's the tricky thing with that, isn't it? Because because I know a few people that mine is not acts of service, but I've got some friends that, you know, they do so much for their family and friends, and then they get so disappointed when they don't get things back and people don't do things back. And and I know I'm guilty of not doing acts of service back and not recognizing it, because you just think, well, that's just what you do. You know, it's not special, but to them, it's really special, and just to be acknowledged for it and have somebody, as you said, show back. Yeah.
And that is true. And then it comes back to around to that having that strong sense of self. Now, if you have a strong sense of self and you were doing, as you were saying, all the acts of service for everyone, but you did it because you wanted to do it, because you got the joy of giving those services. Whether you got accolades for it, whether you got thank you for it, it doesn't matter. If you've got that strong sense of self, you're doing it because it's what you want. And there's sometimes is a difference, is that, you know, we can be a little bit selfish in the fact that, okay, I'm going to give all these acts of service as an example, but hey, I'm not getting anything back. Damn. Now I'm angry, you know, because we are now wanting, we're doing now our service because we want something back from people. It's tricky.
Yeah, and that's where relationships start to fall down, isn't it?
Because sometimes we get into a relationship and don't have our strong sense of self, and so we're wanting our partners to meet those needs of, you know, making us feel good about ourselves.
Yeah.
And until you're made aware of that, you just don't know.
And that comes back to, you know, what you were talking about initially, I imagine, with your husband sitting down for 3 years and talking about those particular things. I would assume that you'd then sort of have to acknowledge about, you know, how strong and how much love you have for yourself as well, and develop that, because that would have to be the base of anything. I mean, all of this stuff's fine in relationships with other people, but if you don't have that self-love, it's always going to be a struggle.
Oh, definitely. Definitely, because you're always needing someone else to make you feel good about yourself. And someone else can never fill your own cup.
Never. No. So how do you suggest that people sort of build that strong sense of self within a relationship type of framework?
Well, it's knowing your own beliefs and values. So it's really, really having a good reflection on your own beliefs and values. But more importantly, is your identity. You know, what you want to identify with, what do you want other people to see you as? You know, if you were, again, the eulogy, you know, you're a ghost at your own funeral. What do you want other people to say about you? You know, if you could write your own eulogy, what is it that you would like to say about you? And then having that identity means then that that will inform your beliefs and values, which will then inform your behaviors, and then it will give you the life that you want. Most people do it the other way around, and we just do behaviors and, you know, have an environment, do behaviors. You know, as I said, crisis, go through crisis, and we don't think about what is it that we really believe about ourselves. You know, we've got that critical inner voice that tells us you're not good enough, you're fat, you're ugly, you're not worthy, you're not worth to be loved. You know, we've got that voice that just sits in the back of our minds, and say, oh, maybe we're not. And so sometimes we're wanting other people to either stop that voice or to do stuff for us so that we can feel worthy and loved, and rather than doing it ourselves and going, okay, voice, nah, not happy with you there, because this is my identity. This is who I want to be. These are my beliefs and values, and I'm standing now in my truth. So whatever you have to say, nick off. Not happening.
Yeah.
You're not ruining my future.
Absolutely. So, you know, so you've said sort of that casual, non-sexual touches is one way to make sure that there's connection in a relationship. What other points would you definitely recommend that people practice?
Well, I have three mandatory, what I would call three mandatory skills that you need for an amazing relationship. So the first one is touch, which is part of connection. You've got to have connection mm-hmm. with your partner. The second one is obviously communication. You've got to be able to talk, share your ideas. And, you know,
well, that's a lot easier saying that than it is, isn't it?
I know. but sometimes we can all talk, all right? We can all get our message over. When problems happen in communication is the fact that we've got this unfulfilled cup that we're trying to get our partners to fulfill for us. So therefore, in our communication, it's almost as if we've got a filter that comes down over our face, like our, you know, perception comes down, and we are listening, selectively listening to our partner for what he can do for me. So when we're selectively hearing, then now I'm getting angry because, hey, I'm not feeling loved here. How dare you? Your poor partner's going, well, what have I done? I don't know what's happening here. And a lot of times it's this filter that we just don't know we've got. You know? And that what impedes.
Yeah,
that's what impedes communication is this filter.
Right. Okay. And obviously when we're trying to communicate in a crisis situation, if we don't have that foundation and knowing that we're going to come back to a place where we've already made this decision on this is how we look at this, then that's where everything just breaks down then.
Yes. And it gets worse.
Yeah.
And then we bring up old stuff that happened 6 months ago because we haven't.
And the word like you always, yes. always, you always.
Yeah, you always do this, and it always begins with you. You do this, you don't do this, you're not behaving in this way because I'm not feeling loved. I'm not feeling wanted, I'm not feeling valued, I'm not feeling.
And what's the third one?
And the third one is consideration.
Okay, that's a big word, actually. That's a huge, powerful word.
But what I'd like to say with old Bill and Ted's adventures, be excellent to each other. And that's just by saying things like please and thank you. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? It is just simply being grateful of what your partner does for you, what they do in your home, what they do in their kids, what they do in their workplace that contribute to your home and your life environment. And it's just saying, hey, I really appreciate what you're doing. And sometimes we just forget to be excellent. And I'm telling you that sometimes we speak the worst in our own homes than we do to a stranger down the street.
Yes, I agree with that.
And that is majorly sad.
Yeah. But it happens all the time. You see it, and people have a lot more patience with strangers than they have with their own family members too.
And that is wrong on all accounts.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly is.
Yeah.
No, so, and obviously they're expanded. I mean, there's more than one types of touch. As you said, there's non-sexual touch, and assuming there's sexual touch as well. I mean, that sort of helps any relationship between partners. But, and then communicating, and I imagine that you'd have a whole lot of different techniques that you would help people with their communication when you're working with a couples?
Yes, yeah. A lot of time is just knowing where you're coming from in your own self, what your self-talk is and so forth. Because we do communicate. We know how to communicate, you know, and yet we do courses after courses to get the behavioural things happening. But it's not the behavioural things happening. It's what we're perceiving underneath. And that's what that's got to be changing. That's got to change is your underlying filters that you're communicating through.
Yeah, it's so much of it just comes back. I know we're talking relationships, but so much comes back to that relationship with self.
Yeah.
And it does right across the board with anything, doesn't it?
That it does.
If you have that underlying belief in yourself, and it's not a belief that you're right all the time, and that's an issue within communication in a relationship as well, but a belief that I suppose you'd describe it as just you own your own piece of ground.
Yeah.
You know, that's where you're standing is your own truth, and that you're not relying on others to influence that truth so that you can feel different about yourself. How you feel about yourself is not influenced by others.
Yeah, most definitely. And that saves a whole gamut of issues regarding taking things personally. I mean, that's one of the biggest things that we do, is that for some reason when we don't have a strong sense of self, we have this default in our heads to say the world is out to get us. So every communication that we have in the workplace, just in socially, in our home life and things like this, comes from that state of the world's out to get me. So when someone says an innocent statement, you will take it on board as they're having a dig at you. When you have that strong sense of self, you then come across and sort of say, nope, not having that. I am now going to assume the whole world loves me. And when you have that level of self-awareness, then what people then say to you comes from a place of they love me. They wouldn't do that to hurt me. So I'm just going to take it as an innocent statement. And we would save ourselves so much angst, so much anger, so much hurt if we could assume that everybody loves us.
Yeah. My husband is he's so funny. He'll say things and I pull him up on it because he doesn't realize what he says and how he says it. And I know what he means, but I just also like to make him aware because sometimes he'll say things that other people may not understand where he's coming from. But he's described me as like a pair of old slippers. Now, a lot of people might find that sort of deflammatory, and insulting. But I know what he meant. You know, I know that it just feels so comfortable and so right. So that just like that old pair of slippers. And he has said to my daughter-in-law something about her being like an Amazon. Now, my daughter-in-law is lovely and slender, but she's really fit and toned. And it's what he meant. You know, he meant that it was a compliment, but he'll say something and it's just, you just got to know that it's not coming from a place where it's being cruel. It's coming from a place where he's acknowledging you. You know, so,
and if you come from a place of the world's out to get me, then his innocent statement would be, how dare he think I'm an old pair of shoes or you know, anything like this and get hurt and angry and everything like this. Whereas, you know, you taking it on board is that, you know, he loves me. He wouldn't do anything to hurt me. So I've got to find the meaning in this. It's cool.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. An old pair of slippers. He comes up with some things. I tell you, some real beauties, and it's just. And I've got two sons, so you know, having brought up boys, they don't care either. But now having the daughter-in-laws, you know, we look at each other and go, I just shake our heads and just go, it's all right. We know it's him. It's fine. We know he loves us. It's not a big deal. Yeah. So takeaway points. I know we've covered a lot. We're probably going to just reinforce things that we've already spoken about, but what would you want people to take away more than anything?
Well, the biggest one, I suppose, is having a strong sense of me, of self, and the belief mm-hmm. in your own abilities, which will allow you to reject and not take things personally. Mm-hmm. Anything that's like unhelpful or harmful, yeah, which we just talked about.
Yeah.
But then to also learn from your mentors and other supportive people to know that, you know, they've got your back. So if you've got a sense of self and you love people, you can take on board people's, you know, willingness to help and sort of say, yeah, I can handle that. Or no, you know, thanks for that, but I think I can do it a better way. You know, so it's being able to just know what is harmful and what's helpful, and then just take on board the helpful stuff and let the harmful stuff slide past. So the other thing is that if you are that strong in yourself, it's just to assume the best of people. And then if you assume the best of people, you will treat them well, and ergo, they will treat you well. What comes around, goes around, comes around.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. Yeah.
And I think the third thing is just that having a strong relationship is the foundation that builds you up and supports you, not only in your life, but in business as well.
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it? When you're, you know, having a strong relationship as a foundation within your own family, that definitely gives you a lot more confidence to go out in the world and be stronger, whether it's in business, but also that those relationships that you have in business are absolutely vital as well. I know I've retired from a JOB and now just work purely on my own business, and that's only sort of recently in the last few months. But I was very, very fortunate to have, you know, a great mentor of the person that owned the business and was able to have a great relationship there. And it made, you know, there was a reason I stayed there a long time past when I had already started my own business, because of that relationship with that particular person and the other people I worked with, but in particular, you know, the person that owned the business, because I, you know, it made a difference when you're turning up every day.
Oh, definitely. And it's not the job per se. A lot of times it's not the job per se, because jobs are just tasks. Tasks being, you know, just put together in a line that does. What makes a job is the people you work with. So you can have a house and it's just two people cohabitating together, you know, just sharing the expenses, or you can have a home where you have the people you are closely connected to.
And that's why a lot of people, that's where a lot of people, you know, change up their jobs, don't they, when the personnel changes.
Precisely. You know, you change up, you sort of change up your job because you can't change the other person. You know, I was just going to sort of say that when you're at home, when you've got a strong relationship at home, it also allows you to have a safe space at home where you can come in from the cares of the world, from the stresses of the world, and to be able to come into your little bubble with your family inside your little bubble and be home.
And that's probably a point, that is that you actually want to go home, because there's so many people I know that don't want to go home.
Because their home life is a house, cold and clinical
and toxic. They avoid it. Yeah, absolutely. So how can people get in touch with you, Sue, if they want to work with you?
Well, they can go to my website, which is metanao.com.au, or they can give me a phone call.
Can you just spell that out again?
It's metanao.com.au. And we also offer, because counselling is just, is a very personal things. You would like to know that you can get on with your counsellor or with your educator and so forth. So we offer a free 15-minute consultation to anybody who would like help, and how we can help you, help your listeners with getting their relationship back on track or building a strong sense of who they are.
Okay. All right. That's great. So, and how can they get in touch with you with that? Is just give you a call?
Give me a call on 0439 294532.
So that's if you're in Australia, or it's +61 439 294532, or it's probably just metanao.com.au. So metanao.com.au is a great way to get in touch with Sue as well. Is there anything else you want to add, Sue, before we
finish? Well, for people who don't live in Australia, you can still use my services, because we can use Zoom video conferencing. So that is an offering that we have, and yes, so we can be a global company. There you go.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You can work with anybody from anywhere around the world, and we've got listeners from all around the world as well. So they can get in touch with that way and get in touch with you online and organise something, not just making the phone call here. It's a great way. I mean, there's no reason, but we can't communicate with everybody around the world. Building strong relationships is a problem no matter what your faith is, what country you live in, and how your relationship is set up, if it's traditional or non-traditional, it's still, as you said, the foundation
your
of
life.
Everything that we do, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely.
And in saying that, for people who are, not in a relationship and, it's still important to have that strong sense of self, but to also be in a relationship with someone close to you so that you can bounce ideas off them, so they can be witnesses to your life and so forth. So just to have, that one person that is significant in your life without being in romantic relationship is. Yeah.
And look, that's actually a good segue into the mastermind group meetings that I run too. I mean, they are localized in Southeast Queensland, but that's the beauty of those, is people are building excellent relationships, business relationships, or just personal relationships to help each other with their businesses rather than trying to do it alone. Because whatever you're doing, it's difficult to do it alone. And it is important to have that support of somebody else who's on the same page as you and has the same sort of commitment to your success as what you do.
Most definitely.
Yeah. Look, I really appreciate our time today, and it's been great. There's so many of these conversations, doesn't matter whether it's to do with physical health or emotional health or business health, it comes back to ourselves as we get stronger and we get more informed. And that's the beauty of doing podcasts, is we can get to people all around the world and that they can, learn different things to become stronger within themselves and more able to cope with all of the crisis adversities that we come across.
And I do have on my website, I do have a lot of blogs that deal with, sort of issues. And for this month, I did challenge myself on writing a post on Facebook every day. So you'll have lots of nighttime reading.
If you want to. And it's all good. It's
So it's looking at just having that strong sense of self and what it means to be in a good relationship.
No, sounds great. Look, I really appreciate it. Thank you, Sue. And for my listeners, that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. I trust you've enjoyed that today. Remember that you can get in touch with me at janinevosper.com, And if you haven't seen my name spelt, I'll spell it out for you because I just thought about that. Janine is spelled a little bit differently. It's J-A-N-E-E-N and it's V-O-S-P-E-R.com. So go and have visit that site. Check out other podcasts if you've missed it. If you're only just listening to this one for the first time, and then look, subscribe. There's been, you know, 50, nearly 60 different podcasts from amazing women as Sue is today who've got great ideas to share. So please, you know, learn from others so that you don't have to sort of make mistakes and you can, it makes life a lot easier. And if you do go to my website, download the free ebook too, because that's overcoming some barriers to success. And so Janine here signing off for another time, and have a great life and a great relationship. Bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.